Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself, 'cause I love you. Yes, I do. Whenever I hear your pretty little pout. Hey, it's Brian Beebe. The Brian Beebe Show, once again brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, 6 locations in Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells, a fabulous Italian restaurant that I'm performing at, and I have for almost 11 years now, 4 nights a week. Today, we're going to talk about music, as we always do. I hope you'll call in on Madison Talks. It's 608-210-1667. I'm going to try once again to not say so much today. I'm going to keep on rolling right through all the uhs. It's hard to do. I just did it right there. Anyway, it would help if I knew what I was going to talk about. And one of the things that occurred to me was that I've been calling this the Brian Beebe Show, and they do on the intro when they talk about the show. But maybe the show needs a name. Maybe it needs another name besides the Brian Beebe Show, because the show is very not likely to be about me. It's I don't like to talk about myself much, but we talk about music, and that's me. Let's call it something else. Call in 608-210-1667 with a, I don't care what you come up with, a suggestion for the name of the show. We also want to talk about a couple of issues that are going on in everybody's life, the healthcare thing. We also, here's another thing. My friend Jana Ward, who is the wife of the chief of police in Wisconsin Dells. Jana, she's beautiful. This is an embarrassing story. She had a picture on Facebook some years ago, and I don't think I should tell this story, but I didn't recognize her from that picture, and I thought she was beautiful, and I said so on Facebook, and then found out that it was her, and she's married to the chief of police in the Dells. Well, I knew her. She and her husband came to see me all the time. I've known the chief of police in the Dells since he was in diapers. But I didn't recognize her from this picture. So I hit on her and then realized that I hit on the wife of the chief of police in Wisconsin Dells. So that wasn't necessarily one of the best things that ever happened to me. But it's her birthday today. I saw it on Facebook. Happy birthday, Jenna. And why don't you, if you feel like it, call in with whoever's birthday it might be, and I'll sing happy birthday to you, all right? I don't care who you are. Call in 608-210-1667. I don't have the keyboard here today. I'll be singing whatever I might sing, a cappella. And we're talking about summertime things, vacations. We've talked about so many things over the scope of these podcasts that I've been doing. This must be about the 20th one I've done. That's 20 hours of gabbing, mostly me gabbing, but people do call in. And we've talked about all kinds of different things. People who moved you or weren't exactly what they seemed at the beginning and turned out to be something totally interesting and incredible to you after you got to know more about them. And we talked about the British invasion. We talked about songs that last and why they last. We've talked about career paths. even, knowing as many people as I do from performing all these years, I've met people in all kinds of different lines of work, and some of them are quite satisfied with what they do, and some of them aren't. They often think they'd rather be professional musicians like me, carefree.
Yeah.
Carefree. Well, I'm kind of one of the lucky carefree professional musicians in that I have always worked in very, very nice places for years and years on end. You set up your equipment, you walk in, you turn everything on, you sing for a while, and you turn everything off and go home. In fact, I don't even turn everything off. I just walk away from the mic and leave. And somebody else turns it off. Anyway.
Somebody like me.
Well, yeah, like you in this case. Mike Brockenfeld, our engineer, tech guru in there. He's got what is the hat?
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Since you love
hat.
Him so much, yeah.
Pearl Jam, yeah. Who loves him, me?
Yeah.
No. I was never a Pearl Jam fan, although they signified a kind of a nice direction, a surge back to basic garage band rock and roll.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
That period before that was very much very technical stuff. Every record was computer driven, and Pearl Jam brought. And Nirvana brought things back to a garage band, really playing our guitars and basses and drums. And that was kind of nice. That was one nice thing about Pearl Jam, Mike, that they actually played.
Oh, yeah.
And there wasn't anything else on the records. There wasn't any computer-generated anything. They played, they wrote their songs, they sang them, and that was a neat thing.
For sure.
Grunge.
Yeah, the essence of grunge.
Yeah, and the flannel shirts. And did somebody call in?
Yeah, for sure. We got Bill on the line.
Bill, okay, let's see who Bill is. Hey, Bill, it's Brian. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Brian, this is Bill Lund.
Hey, Billy, what's up, man?
How are you?
Just talking about you.
We got to play tonight.
Oh,
and,
yeah?
I thought I'd call in and say hi real quick before I had to go out the door.
Where are you going?
We're in downtown Oshkosh tonight, actually.
Downtown Oshkosh, you and the wife,
yep.
Until
yep.
Dawn.
Cool.
You're amazing guy. A professional, a fantastic professional drummer, sound tech engineer for big name rock and roll outfits. He's mixed sound for REO and Cheap Trick and who else, Billy? Just give us a couple.
Well, actually, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Moody Blues, Reba McEntire, Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn.
I said just a few.
Bellamy Brothers. I could go on and on.
I know. But I didn't even know the scope of that. But I knew you were good at it. And here he is now. In his waning years, he's probably
late 50s. I'm getting up there.
You got to be in your 80s by now, I would think.
Well, no, I feel like that after our 4-day weekend.
Yeah, but he's got this beautiful girlfriend / wife, whatever he and she have been together for years and years and years, and she's a great singer and a beautiful girl, and then there's Bill. Okay, he's beautiful and he's a great singer.
I'll give you an example, Brian.
No, yeah.
Back in March, we had our ninth anniversary, and everybody walked up to me and congratulated me. Everybody walked up to her and said, "I'm sorry." So, you know.
Yeah, sorry, Dawn. Yeah, but she is gorgeous and she's a good singer, and you guys call yourselves Until Dawn. You're playing in the Dells Fridays?
Every Friday night
outside?
At the Bobbers, yep.
And that's a 6 o'clock show, right?
7 to 10, actually.
Oh, 7 to 10. That's why
we never get a chance to see you. We're always wrapping up when you're getting done. So.
Yeah, and vice versa. But that's what happens
yeah,
when
you're
you
right, exactly, yeah.
become
yeah.
a working musician, man. You don't get to see your friends.
Well,
they're all
it's
musicians.
Kind of exploded for us this summer. We were not planning on this many dates. We're doing about 13, 14 shows a month. And last year we did about 4 shows a month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, I knew you weren't as full time as you then as you are now, and that's wonderful, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're having an absolute ball.
And you still find time to produce new tracks? I know that you.
I do. Record I've been stuff doing some that drum you guys... tracks for some. I met a friend online that is using some of my drum tracks, actual me playing drums, not my Beat Buddy thing, his band.
With your flams,
using to back his band up out in Seattle.
With your flams and paradiddles?
Yeah, with my flams, flamadiddles and paradiddles, yes, and yeah. Radamacues.
And double flamadiddles?
3, 5, 7 stroke rolls, everything, yep.
3, 5, and 7 stroke rolls.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And but you're recording some tracks too for Until Dawn.
We're just about to. We've actually written a few songs, and we're going to introduce a few of those. We're not trying to make it big. It's just stuff that it was just another chance for Don and I to work together on something. And
for you
helping me write some stuff. I've got a full digital or full Pro Tools studio in my basement, so we can produce this stuff, you know.
Right.
I'm limited in my musicianship. I'm really a drummer. I'm not a guitar player or a keyboard player, so I'm going to need some help, Mr. Beebe. There's a few things I'd like to add that would really come in handy from you.
Yeah, well, you
and
know,
Mike Freeland and a few other people
Mike
that I can
Massey.
Think of, even Matt Lindemeyer. So,
Matthew would be perfect because he can play all of it, and so can you. Maybe you don't have that much confidence, but it's coming. Your act is so much better than it
better.
Was.
I am getting better. With me, though, I've never been really much of a guitar player. I can play rhythm.
But you're enthusiastic, Billy. You're enthusiastic.
And that makes up for a lot of mistakes during some of those shows.
Yeah, and you still, even at your advanced age, you're interested in getting better and doing more things and playing more gigs and stuff. You know, that's
exactly.
That's unusual at 70 or whatever you are.
I tell you, I am getting older. I mean, when I drop something and I have to bend over to pick it up, I'm looking for other stuff I can do while I'm down. Just the other day, Dawn yells at me from upstairs. She says, "Bill, run upstairs and make love to me." I said, "Well, I can't do both."
Come on upstairs. You know, no, you can't do it.
Can't do both.
When you bend down, you're looking for something else to do down there.
I'm trying to be efficient. So.
I do that same thing, and Mike's laughing. He knows he does that too, and he's a young guy. You just want to use your time well, don't you?
You get up out of a chair now, it becomes an audible event.
Yeah.
Where did those songs come from? I didn't plan on making them.
No, and I'll tell you something. I make a concerted effort to not make those old guy noises.
Sometimes you just got to let the energy release.
If you hang around young people, they're not doing that, Billy.
I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed that at my place of business at Mercury Marine. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
You're fixing or you're supervising guys that are building?
I'm up in the offices. I'm a MerCruiser certified MerCruiser technician. I fix the problems that the dealers can't.
Yeah.
They call me and I fix them for them. So I do a lot of repair work on boat engines via the phone or the internet. So.
And is it seasonal, man?
So, oh God, no. Well, it is. It is in terms of the job. It's a full time job. But right now we're in our heaviest part. I'm busiest right now.
Because there's more repairs going on.
Take a half a day off is kind of unheard of in the summer. But I have seniority there, so they let me out. So.
Yeah. Where are you playing in Oshkosh, just in case I have a...
It's a place called Caramel Crisp Cafe. This is just a really
Caramel
nice
Crisp?
Cafe. Caramel Crisp, yep.
Cool.
Yeah, Dawn's going to be in heaven when we get there, trust me, because they're feeding us after the event. So.
And you drink latte instead of beer and stuff, or what?
Pretty much. It's been a long time since I've had a beer, so...
Is it outdoor? Is it outdoors, man?
Yeah, this is our first time there, Brian. I'm not even entirely sure.
Would be a great day to be outdoors if you can do it, man.
Yep. Yeah, we do a lot of outdoors right now, and I love them, but I'll tell you, the sun gets to me after a while, you know.
I know, but you could be out, like, on the sidewalk, and even if people are inside, if you're near the window, you could, like, turn around and knock on the window occasionally, you know. Pretend that they're
I do that.
Paying attention.
We play. You've been at me and Julio in Pittsburgh, right?
Oh yeah. How about that place?
You played. Oh, I love it. And they keep inviting us back. They keep giving us more and more dates.
Well,
yeah,
that's fabulous, awesome. Man. I played there a few times.
When you play inside on the Wednesday nights, you know, the people kind of walk by you when they're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's always that really nice, that nice older lady that might be walking with their family out, and she's carrying all the carry-out food, you know, the doggy bags, if you will.
Yeah.
And I always ask them, so what are we having tonight, you know?
they leave laugh. The bags off as your tip, kind of, or what?
Yep. No. Yeah, exactly.
So if you're outside.
Yep, absolutely.
Are you playing outside?
Yeah, we do on Sundays. On Wednesday nights, we play inside.
In Fitchburg,
yep.
At down across from WIBA,
and yes.
way down there past the fish hatchery itself. I played there a few times.
Yeah, you know, Brian, it's 57 miles from our front door.
I just bombed.
It's when a hop, skip, and there. A jump for us.
I bombed when I played there. I couldn't.
You really?
Yeah, yeah. The only good thing was, you know, and this was not even of my doing. I would have probably preferred to play on the side wall across from the bar and facing the bar, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's such a long room and there's people in the back who can't really be a part of what you're doing. So, but.
No.
But,
no, because you can't play it at that kind of volume.
Right. But here's the reason why it's good to stand where you're standing, is the tip jar is on their way out.
Yes, it is, sir.
Yes. Even if they hated you, they'll see the tip jar.
Feel obligated.
Get yourself a little, like a desk lamp, and put it on top of
the speaker. It's a plastic, like a champagne bucket that we use.
Yeah.
And then I put this it's a halogen light or LED.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Sort of an aircraft landing light or something that shines up around it, so it looks like the second coming.
It shines through it. It really looks cool. And then on the front, Don's going to paint a guitar string fund.
So. Oh no! But that's not a bad idea. But it's a guitar string fund. It needs to be something.
Something catchier?
Funnier. A little bit funnier. Something else fun. Yeah. What would it be?
Old musicians' retirement
drunks,
fund?
Maybe. Or, you know, give us some money so we can stay home and you won't have to hear us anymore.
you won't have to hear it again. They've been really sweet to us down there, Brian, and the audiences that we've had have been such nice people. We had a lady, actually, we were playing outside on a Sunday, and we were doing Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
And the lady pulled her she was at a stoplight. She pulled her, she did a U-turn, came in to see who we are, and then she brought a bunch of friends with her.
How about that?
And yeah, so then we did Gypsy for us, then they started filling up the tip bucket. So.
Well, sure. And this is outside, so they can hear you, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to tell you, too, you asked us a while back if we do the Flame by Cheap Trick, and I really wasn't playing it very well, so we kind of stopped. I actually put it together as a full production because Don's playing bass now.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I watched Robin again, how he's playing the part.
Yeah.
And I figured it out now. I've got my fingers to work right on it.
Yeah, it must be just something you need to practice because he's not much of a guitar player.
No, but I'll tell you what, he's really accurate on that one part.
Well, yeah.
Right after the very beginning opening chords and then that first transition, that little walk that he does, it's not an easy walk.
I know.
At least not for me. At least not for me.
And he had to work at it, I'm sure. So
because when he plays it now, it looks like he does it with authority. So.
Oh, sure. Well, he's played it a lot, you know, since then.
Yeah.
Excellent. But you're not playing tonight at Me and Julio's?
No, tonight
I'm already down here.
We're not back there until the 6th of August, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah, 6th of August, and then we're there the following Sunday as well, the 13th.
Well, if I keep doing these shows on Wednesday, I definitely will make it down to see you at Me and Julio's.
Yeah, I'll let you know when we're back there. Absolutely.
August 6th. You just told me.
Yeah, well, that's a Sunday, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's August 6th and the 13th are Sundays.
Bill,
and that's outside in the back on the trailer, the hay bale trailer that they got by the outside deck there.
You're on the hay bale trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cool. We like it.
Well, listen, we got to go to break, but I wanted to tell everybody that Bill Lund, the famous Bill Lund called in today, Until Dawn, Fridays at Barber's up in the Dells. I got people that listen to me up there. They'll come over.
Yeah, we finally got our first corporate gig for Harley Davidson at the factory in Tomahawk. So,
You know what? I'm a little Mike, cut him off. I'm a little sick of his bragging. No.
Brian, I love you. I love you like a brother, man. It's good to talk to you. Okay, I've got to get out the door myself. So
keep flamadiddling or whatever it is.
Flamadiddling. I will do that.
All right, man. Bill Lund.
Take care, Brian.
See you, Bill. Oh, that was nice. Bill Lund used to manage the Crystal Grand Music Theater up in Wisconsin Dells, and so he met and ran sound for a lot of the big names that came through the Dells. But he also mixed sound professionally, you know, on the road with Cheap Trick for a while and REO and some of the other people. So lots of country acts.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, he used to go out with the country acts, and they were touring plenty. County fairs, state fairs, and there he was at the mixing console.
Lots of different instruments in country.
Yeah. It's gotten a lot different than it used to be, hasn't it?
Hmm.
I was going to tell you, you know, everybody's going to a county fair. We're going to the state fair in a couple of weeks just to hear music, basically. Anybody going to the county fair? Call in 608-210-1667. We're going to go to break, and when I get back, I'll tell you some more about the mental hospital today. I think I'm going to need it, so.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
I like that. What is that?
We all know it.
Yeah. Oh! Tony Bennett, my man. Look at me. If you watch me much, you know I love my records that I listened to as a kid, the 60s records that Mike plays for me sometimes. But nobody makes me smile more than Tony Bennett does. And I'll tell you a little Tony Bennett story. That you guys that don't particularly care for Tony, let's just say you're a rock and roller and you never went through the same things that I went through to get to Tony Bennett. I mean, I was always a left my heart in San Francisco thing until I got down to Florida and started playing for these older folks, and I had to have the material for them. Well, the more I listened to, the more I just started to love the style of music, background music, all of it from Tony Bennett. And I tried to convince my friend, rock and roll god Ron Vogel, when he was living down in Florida nearby me. I used to play 5 to 8 every day, Mike. 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., 5 days a week.
It's a good gig.
And Tuesday night, 9 to 1. Yeah, so I was off and could go out and hear other acts. It was an amazing time for me. And my friend Ron Vogel, when he was living in Florida, and I would go hear every band there was in the Tampa Bay, St. Pete area. And any night of the week, I told you about my my Monday night excursion into the talent show, where I learned to not enter talent shows. But he and I used to go, and we used to go to this place called Silas Dent's, right on the beach in St. Pete Beach, and hear bands quite often. He played there a lot too. But I hope he doesn't mind me telling the story about, basically, a lot of times we just, I had a Honda Accord with a beautiful sound system in it, and we would just buy a beer at the convenience store and drive around and listen to great music on the stereo in my car. I had another friend who, he and his wife were in the back seat one time, and we were playing something really loud on this stereo, and I'll never forget, he said, "You should have a dance floor back here."
That's a good one.
Huh? Yeah, and he was right, because that stereo did sound great in that car. And but anyway, we're at in the parking lot of Silas Dent's going to hear some band, and I made him listen to this song. Tony Bennett singing Maybe This Time, his version of this song from West Side Story. And West Side Story, Cabaret. And he was converted. He understood that the same pain pleasurable pain that you get from playing and listening to rock and roll sometimes, that that burst of something that makes you just want to turn your head and bop your head or whatever. It's that same feeling can come from notes and performances of notes like Tony Bennett does on so many of his big ballads. It's such an enormous sound. His voice is almost operatic, but he in this particular song at the end. And let's just go online, and if you can, and find the original, because he recorded it several times on Tony Bennett's Greatest Hits, Maybe This Time from Cabaret. And it, basically, the end of it goes, Maybe this time, maybe this time I'll win. Only it's higher and it's much more powerful than the orchestra behind him. And my friend Ron was converted by the spirit of Tony Bennett. There's a video of Tony Bennett singing another classic of his called When Will the Bell... Not, no, it was called How Do You Keep the Music Playing? Okay? And at the end of this big song, there's a big, big ending. And Tony Bennett likes to stand up there with the mic. And he holds a small mic and he holds it way up here like the rappers do. And he would put his hand like in front of the lights over his face sometime, like he was searching for something or getting something out of his way, okay? Whatever it was, at the end of this, if you ever look it up, How Do You Keep the Music Playing? He's got the mic, and he's doing this big and big note on the end. And if you know anything about singing or anything you're trying to do well, if you're shoving this energy into it, his face, and he's not really a handsome man, but his face was all scrunched up like this at the beginning of this note. And finally, in the middle, when he realized he had it and it was locked in, this grimace turned into a smile. Oh, yeah, and the note's still going, but he went from strain to real satisfaction in the same note. Because if you're, if you're a singer, you know that a big, big high note that you have to sustain and throw a lot of breath into is a bit of a physical strain. And so he didn't, maybe this was show, but he's not that kind of show, Tony Bennett. And he got this, let me think of the ending. Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. Great. Yeah, and the whole shot is just his face. Now he's not standing; you don't see his body, and so you get to enjoy that emotion with him. That's How Do You Keep the Music Playing, Tony Bennett. And boy, there was he was on Johnny Carson one time, and I learned a couple of really cool songs from Tony over the TV. I mean, he got out there with this. I think he sang with just a bass player. Cool. It was such a wide open arrangement that I kind of wrote down the words and the chords at the same time, just as he was doing it. You know, you could hear the basic changes in the song, and there was. He was a heck of a... He still is, but I don't want him to play anymore. I told you this. He's 90 years old. He's still out there doing it, but it's more of a circus act now. Novelty. Yeah, he's a novelty. He's out there. He's 90. Yeah, he can still walk out on stage. They don't wheel him out there or put him on one of those two-wheel dollies that you use in a warehouse and wheel him out there. No, he can walk out there. He can sing. He remembers the words. But it's not Tony anymore. You know, let's retire Tony.
I still have the image of him being wheeled out like Hannibal.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that, without the mask on, yep. You know. And then they just kind of shove him off the end of the two-wheel. I'm not being respectful of a guy who I learned a lot from and really idolized for a lot of years, Tony Bennett. Somebody called in.
Nobody.
Oh, it's nobody good.
Maybe they'll call back.
Yeah. We talked about the county. I was going to talk about the county fairs. If I have to, I'll talk to you a little bit more about my experiences at the mental psychiatric ward of the hospital when I was a young man down in Rockford. But the county fairs and the state fairs, I mean, there's lots of guys that I know that are playing them. And I always wished I could, but I've been in a band, an occasional band right now, the last few years, called Island Jack, and we do play. We open up for some of the big names that come through the Dells, but I always wish I could play some state fairs and county fairs and stuff. And I wanted to tell you about my uncle and an experience he had at the county fair. Is somebody there?
Yeah, we have Dave.
Dave, hello, Dave.
Hey, man, how you doing?
All right, who is this?
Dave.
Dave.
From the Dells.
Huh?
Dave from the Dells.
Dave, which Dave from the Dells?
Well, how many do you know?
Huh?
Oh, I'll clarify it. Clyde Schmartz.
Oh, this guy. Dave, you can't call in. You're too shy. You can't even use your... You sounded like Dave, and then I said, oh, my God. I got another stalker. He won't tell me who he is. And,
yeah, oh my there you God. Go.
Yeah, but how are you doing, man?
I'm good.
I haven't gotten around to the 60s music that I promised you we'd be talking about yet. But
The connection keeps dropping, so I heard Bill London's on, and after that I couldn't tell you what you've been doing.
Well, then we were talking about the state fair, and we're you and I and your wife and another couple and me. I'm the fifth wheel on these little adventures that we go on. Are going to the state fair?
Yeah, Monday. We're going to the state fair to see nobody this year.
We're not going to go see anybody in particular?
No.
Because we have gone. I never went for years and years. And then you guys talked me into going, and we saw the Happy Together tour with the Turtles and the Grassroots and the Association and the Cow Sills. Who else was in there? The Buckinghams, the Turtles, and the Cow Sills. Did I say the Cow Sills? I see it. It was six acts.
Yeah, it was a tough night when the Cow Sills was the best act.
No, they weren't the best, but they were good. They were plenty good. The young, the mom.
The mom wasn't there. She was there in spirit.
Okay, it was like a daughter that's now a mom, sort.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But no, we had the Grassroots, the Association, the Buckinghams, the Cow Sills, the Turtles. Who did I leave up? What's his name? Mark Lindsay.
Oh, that's right.
Mark Lindsay of the Paul Revere and the Raiders. Yeah, but that was a good show.
I mean, it's a good show, but you got to frame it correctly and say that the requirement to participate in that tour is some member has to be 65 or older.
Well, that's okay. That doesn't mean that it's that doesn't mean that those acts sounded great. They had the same band behind them for every act, right?
Exactly.
And the drummer in the backup band, wasn't he a Cow Sill?
Yeah, no.
That was the Beach Boys.
John was playing with the Beach Boys.
That was the next year.
The 18 Beach Boys, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have to sound very good, but they did.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They didn't have to, because people would go out and see them, but they sounded like a great, great band, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I
do. So this year we're not going to go see anybody? Day. We're just going to see, go to the beer tents and like that?
I think we're going to hit anybody that's got a stage. Yeah, I mean, every brewer there has a stage. So
yeah. My friend Tuna Boat Charlie or whatever his name is.
Yeah, funny guy.
Yeah, and whoever's playing, and they're near the beer stand and the hot dog stand.
Well, no, actually, who's ever closest to the Cream Puff Pavilion?
Well, that was a terrible Beatles guy one year.
Yeah, well, we won't listen to him, but we'll stay close to the pavilion.
Yeah, it was cool in there. The air conditioning drew us in. And then we found out that there was Cream Puffs for sale inside. And I stood in a line a quarter of a mile long, I would say. And stood in line for, I don't know, 20 minutes at least to get up near the Cream Puffs. And when you get to watch them make them, you know. And they had all these high school kids just like an assembly line making Cream Puffs. And I said, well, I waited so long for these Cream Puffs. I'm going to make it worthwhile and buy some for our whole group that we had, you know. But somebody else got in line that I didn't see and did that same thing. So we had like 25 Cream Puffs for eight people.
Yeah. that family that took over our table was happy to find that when they left.
You could not eat two, and I'll tell you why. How I know that, because I tried to eat two, and they were a little bit on the major. Which way is the Alka-Seltzer Pavilion?
Yeah, my problem is I've come near asphyxiation when I eat one of those. I never remembered to not breathe in.
Oh, yeah, you got that powder.
I choke on powdered sugar.
Yeah, or some sort of powdered.
Whatever that is on there.
Yeah.
Powdered something. Huh?
Yeah. Well, Dave, I appreciate you calling in, man, supporting the show. Do you have any suggestions? We're talking about naming the show.
Yeah, I caught that at the beginning, and I haven't come up with anything clever yet.
Well, I just wrote down a couple of things on the break. You know, dementia, only combine it with dimension, like D-I, dimension, like
oh,
we used
there
to.
We go. There
and
we
then,
go. Yeah.
But it's dementia.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a good name for this show?
And no.
How about, some radio show or promoter used to call them, they'd advertise a low-dose show. You remember that?
Yeah.
If the coverage charge wasn't going to be too high. How about this? Because I don't make a penny, we could call it the no-dose show.
Okay. Ooh, there we go.
Or no-dose. No-dose, like no-dose.
No-dose is good.
Show. I don't know. Think about it, man. You're a sharp guy.
Yeah,
high in the marketing. Yeah, and we'll. I hope I see you before we go to the fair.
Hey, I do have a question for you.
All right, what is it?
Why are there no protest songs written these days? Or am I so far out of the loop that I don't hear the artists that are doing? I mean, protest songs.
Well,
there's a lot to protest.
Yeah, but they're not. You're right. You're just a little bit out of the loop because they don't come out as hippie protest songs like folk songs that we listened to when
right.
we were young. The rappers and they're protesting life in the food deserts and of the inner city and the injustices and stuff there. So that's going on, that's going on. But nobody's protesting out in a big way. The government. Do you know anything, Mike?
No.
Nobody's taking the chance, or there's no market for it.
I don't think. Yeah, I just don't think. I think that might be more it. They
don't want to change anything or don't think they can. Maybe that people just don't feel like a song about injustice like that is going to make any difference. Right. What do you think?
Hey, the Field of Burn people, they were organized, and all of a sudden when that election was over, they seemed to disappear.
Yeah, the Field of Burn people, yes. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know if there's not a passion for something like,
Yeah. Well, I'm not. I'm not a particularly political guy, but
no, nor am I.
But listen, in that same line, of thought, whatever happened to Hillary? She was so in the campaign, so cued in to all the issues and doing so much for the country, and then Trump got elected, and we've never heard her since. She's never, intoned. A single thing about anything that's going wrong in her eyes now. You know what I mean? She was so there all the time. Every day we saw the campaign.
The party may want her to keep her distance from them.
Well, sure. I mean, the Democrats. Yeah.
Right. She can't be their spokesman because everybody's mad at her.
Yeah, she brought the party down some. There were lots of people who voted for Trump because it couldn't vote for her. I know
right.
that. But what about, doesn't she really, she has no feelings at all for these issues that she wouldn't be interviewed, have a press conference or be interviewed by anybody?
Yeah, isn't it strange? And just like you said, why isn't the media after her?
Yeah.
Why aren't they, just
can
like
you comment? Can you comment? Would you comment?
Why aren't they camped out? Because if anybody has the right to speak to the issues, it's certainly her.
Yeah, and for a while there, the joke was she was out in the woods. She was living in the woods. Remember that?
off the grid.
Yeah. And she might have been, but she was doing it without Bill, because yeah. Bill wouldn't live out there under yeah. a tree. Yeah. He just wouldn't. Not with her, anyway.
Yeah. you know, her and Ewell Gibbons.
Yeah. Did you ever hear, Dave, how Bill and Hillary met?
I don't believe I've heard that story.
Well, they were both dating the same girl in college. Do you like that? I don't know what that means. I don't really know what that means, but I thought...
I have seen Hillary's college pictures, and she wasn't surprised.
She looked a lot... There was some on the TV just recently. She looked a lot like Chelsea, didn't she?
I thought it was more like John Lennon.
Well, Dave, you can leave on that note, man. That was a pretty good one.
All right.
We're going to have another break here anyway, but thanks for calling in, man. Made the show.
I'll check with you next week. We'll get planned finally.
All right. Well, maybe we'll see you at Sorrento's. You know, I'm still playing there 4 nights a week at 7 p.m. Sorrento's yeah. at the Wilderness.
I'll be down in lovely, lovely Rockford this weekend.
Yeah. That would be nice, too. You know, I've driven right past your house. Not past your house, but at your street. My niece bought a house right across Riverside from you guys, someplace.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, like Perryville, someplace behind one of the
behind
the Ranger. What's it called? Road Ranger. I think it's
Road
behind
Ranger
that.
Station. Oh,
yeah. We're down.
So now you gotta go visit her and us at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've actually done you a favor not stopping by. Because I know when you get down there, you like to be on your own, and you don't want guys like me popping in. But anyway,
All right, go on break. We'll back you later.
All right. Thanks, Dave. And you know, Clyde Schmortz works on you too, man.
See ya.
Bye. Oh, we can't go to break. Somebody just called.
Crime baby shows.
I'm dying to tell my county fair story about my uncle. Was he my uncle or my grandfather? My grandfathers were both dead before I was born, but I might tell this joke as if it was my grandfather.
Got Mitch on the line.
Okay, Mitch Hank? That's the only Mitch I know.
I want to hear the joke. Go ahead.
Well, it was county fair, and it was my grandfather. It wasn't, but... The story rests on it being my grandfather and my grandmother, and she was kind of rough on the old man all the time. And he went to the state fair, and he wanted to ride the helicopter. You know, there's a helicopter ride, and he asked my grandmother over and over again, "Can we go on the helicopter?" And she'd say, "No, $50. It's $50. And $50 is $50. So year after year, they would go, and he'd ask her, "Can we ride the helicopter? I want to ride the helicopter." "No, $50. $50 is $50. You can't." So finally, he's 85 years old there at the state fair, and he says, "Can we ride the helicopter?" "Damn it, we're going to ride the helicopter." So they get and the helicopter guy operators heard him over the years, and he says, "You know, you guys, I'm going to help you out. You've always wanted to ride this thing," he says to my grandfather. "And she won't let you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you both up in a helicopter for free. But if either one of you says anything, I'm going to charge both of you for the ride, if you say anything." So they go up in the helicopter, and the helicopter's kind of, guy's laying it on. He's taking them on all these bank turns and diving and climbing and flipping over and stuff. He finally lands, and he says to the old man, "Boy, I thought sure with all that activity, all those bank turns and twists and stuff, that you would have said something, but I didn't hear a peep out of you." And my grandfather said, "Well, I was going to say something when Edna fell out of the helicopter, but $50 is $50.
I like that joke.
Yeah.
$50 is, in fact, $50.
$100 now. That joke is at least 20 years old. So it'd be $100 to ride a helicopter now, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Hey, Mitch, what are you doing with yourself on a Wednesday
afternoon?
I'm
on the Beltline behind some wet paint lines truck, and I've got people honking at me. It's not a good time to be on the phone. I'll tell you that right now. But I will say this, though. I love your stories.
Yeah.
Is it true that you got into performing and the performers get into it because you want to meet girls? Is that really what starts the whole thing?
Maybe. I don't know. You're getting something that you couldn't get without that guitar in your hands, obviously.
Yeah.
And
because girls always think that's cool. I mean, they always go to the guy with the guitar.
Yeah, and if you couldn't play sports, it had to be music. I mean, I played sports a little bit too, but I wasn't good at that, so I could.
What sport did you play?
I played football in junior high school, and I wrestled in high school. I was a wrestler. Boy, that's the most unglorious and the most grueling of all the high school sports. There's nothing harder than wrestling, man.
You're sweaty and you're crawling around another man.
You have to lose weight in this 110-degree room every night and try to make weight. Yeah. And you have to lose 25 pounds or you can't be competitive. Like for me, I never worked that hard at it. And so I would lose 5-6 pounds in sweat in the thing, and then go right to the water fountain and drink it all back on. Here's the real strain of that, Mitch, was being one-on-one with 500 people watching with this guy, and you were either going to be the victor or the loser, and that kind of pressure in itself would always ruin me, take my legs right out from underneath.
Don't you inadvertently grab their private parts?
Because you can't let people see you doing that. That would
But sometimes your hand, gets the wrong
would,
spot.
Of course, I'm sure it did, but I didn't think of that.
Try to forget those things.
That would be worse than going straight to your back and being pinned. I mean, if people were talking about me as a terrible wrestler, I mean, he loses all the time. They used to call him Fish. I was a fish. I'd go straight to him.
No.
Yeah, I was. But if the word got out that you were grabbing the guy by the nuts or something, that would be even worse than being pinned.
Right. Well, I would wrestle a woman probably and just kind of roll around. But I didn't like to be sweaty crawling on some of their guys. I thought maybe there'd be a photographer coming and you'd see it on some late night YouTube video or something.
Yeah. What's your show going to be about today? You're on at 5 o'clock today.
We're going to have more on healthcare because you and I've talked about that. You like your healthcare.
Well, I got it from the Obamacare Exchange. I used to have HRSP, which was state subsidized. High risk because of pre-existing conditions. And they took that away because I could get on the exchange and get my own without consideration.
I don't want to get personal, but should we even ask what that condition is?
The pre-existing, it came from my days as a wrestler.
Oh.
Yeah, I was grabbed in the privates way too many times.
I'm so sorry.
No, that isn't so, but either way, I got insurance on the exchange, and my premium and my deductible have gone down since I got it, years ago.
Oh, that's great. I think the key is, don't you have to tell them that your income is so little that you'll get, a break? I mean, I think I told them my income would be too high.
Yeah, I mean, do you qualify? Me too. I mean, I can't qualify for anything federal or anything like that,
Oh, I think I said 30 grand, which is not going to happen, but that was my projection. So the payment would have been too much.
So, but they might just repeal and not replace, and then you and I are both SOL, right?
Well, that's a different story on whether one of us is SOL already, but I think there's more ways than one.
Both SOL already.
All I'm saying is, They said today they're going to try to get it all done, meaning they're trying to get a replacement.
Or wait 2 years, and they've already had seven.
Well, that's the repeal. President Trump was on at the lunch today, had lunch with the senators, and he said, let's get it done, man. Let's get the whole thing done. So they were out there talking about it, and we'll talk about it tonight with Scott.
Well, I hope that you guys get it figured out, man.
Good to talk to you. And
you
I hope
too.
You get more groupies.
And don't drive across.
Somebody named Ralph.
And, yeah, Don't drive across the wet paint.
I won't.
All right, man.
All right, take care. Bye.
See you at 5. Mitch Hank at 5 o'clock tonight. Right here. Don't go away. Just keep watching that blank Facebook screen until he shows up. All right? Anyway, thanks a lot. The Brian Beebe thing. Dementia. How about dementia? Yeah.
I like it.
The no-dose show. Anyway, am I off? All right. The Brian Beebe show. Monks, Bar and Grill, Sorrento's, and MadisonTalks.com. So happy together.